everybody. Welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada. We are stand-up comedians.
Stand-up comedians that are currently jobless because of the coronavirus.
We're finally going to be the doctors our mothers wanted us to be.
Is there anything that we don't know?
A lot, actually. We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of answers.
All of them wrong.
But we do have access to...
Google.
And a vet.
Oh, yeah. My mom's a vet. She knows some stuff. We have to do this.
So every once in a while, we're going to invite her on. No, we don't. We're going to actually use this. Welcome to Two Non-Doctors.
Hi, welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada.
How was your flight home?
It was fine. It was bumpy, but you know what actually weirdly helped was that I resigned to dying.
Uh-huh.
Because like I've been afraid of flying, and that's a new development in my life. So, but I'm like actually more sick of being afraid of dying than
dying.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? If you just say, fine, if it's my time, it's my time. Like if I die, I die. Like I always think about your joke. You're like, mom, if you die, you die. But like, it is just kind of like one of those things. Like it would be better than this constant panic attack for 6 hours that it's just like,
there's nothing you can do. You have to get home. You're already on the plane. You have no skills in the air.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's, although I do fancy myself a bit of a backseat pilot. I'm just like, you're going a little fast for this landing, a little fast. Boop. Oh, like, and like, we like hit the ground really hard. And I'm like, you see, if you should have slowed down just like a little bit, but, yeah, no,
like so, this is going in my review.
Yeah. But it was really bumpy, but I mean, like at times, and it's fine. Like the bumpiness lasts for like 10 seconds, but it's like, it's the not knowing. And you're like, is it going to get worse? One time on a flight from Vegas, the plane woke me up because it had like jumped, like it was a jet ski in the air. Like it
like
dropped.
Yeah.
And that was terrifying.
Drops and unexplained turbulence. Like a lot of times you get on the plane, they're like, hey, we're going to Chicago. Just to let you know, it's going to be kind of bumpy for most of the ride. That's like, all right, they expect it. They're acting like it's no big deal. I'm fine. It's when you're like in the air and they're like, everybody sit down. Da-da-da. You're like,
yeah.
What?
When the flight attendants seem nervous, you're like, oh no, this is going to be bad.
When they start putting away beverages and peanuts, I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
Like, that's serious. So I would say when it's like unexpected and they make everybody sit down when it wasn't planned, like if they say at the beginning, hey, we probably can't do drink service, it's going to be a really bumpy flight. Again, it's planned. They know it's coming. They understand it. It's when like out of nowhere, like I don't like surprises. I can't imagine they're like, I love surprises in the air when I'm in control of 200 people. Like, you know, so I think that's where I start to get a little nervous. But while I might not just be like, if I die, I die, I am a little bit like, there's literally nothing I can do.
I mean, that's Johnny's approach. He's like, you got on the flight. You trusted the pilot enough to that point. Cause like, he's like, you could always take, well, we were somewhere, but it was like, I could have taken a train to, I think Amsterdam. It was something. He was like, you could have taken a train, but you chose the flight. So it's like, you might as well just like, you, there is nothing you can do. It's like, it's the same message. It's the, oh, you know, the worrying is like, I was reading this article in The Guardian today. It was an opinion piece. And this guy was talking about like, that there was two types of worrying. And one is like the anxiety around it is either this worrying is going to debilitate me, or the anxiety is like this like magical thinking about worrying. Like if I worry, I can control events.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm worried about this, it's almost like saying to the universe, like, I'm not, there's no hubris here. I never took anything for granted. I'm fully aware. Like, and if I worry about it, I'm telling the universe, like, you don't have to like teach me any lessons. Cause does that make sense?
Oh, that's interesting. Like I knew this was going to be a problem. You don't have to tell me that this is fucked up. Cause I know this is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also wonder if it's a, like, you can't blame me. So like, let's say you let your kids sleep over somewhere and you're worried something bad's going to happen. They're going to get hurt or whatever. And then they do get hurt. It's a little bit like, I knew it the whole time that this wasn't a good idea. And I went against my best judgment, as opposed to like their kids and they could fall off a bunk bed anytime. And like, it's like, you got to let things.
Yeah. And you think also, you're worried.
Bad things just happen. Like, that's not like, don't get me wrong. You can put yourself in situations where it's more likely to happen or whatever, but it's also like at some point, like you can always like, if you're worried something bad's going to happen and then it happens, it doesn't mean that you knew. It's just like, well, yeah, you're going to be right at least half the time.
Yeah. I think the thing is like, if you were going along and everything was okay, and then something bad happens, then you go back and go, I should have seen the clues. I should have looked out for red flags. But if you're a worrier, you go, I was paying attention the whole time. So it's not my fault because I did everything I could do and I worried where I should have worried.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, yeah, for me, like that's the kind of worrying I do. It feels like a form of magical thinking. Like if I'm controlling something by being fully aware of all the risks.
I get that. And in a situation where you could run or leave, it makes sense. You know what I mean? You're in a crowded club and there's, I don't know, some reason to be worried, but like once the door is locked, once you're in the air, you have zero choices.
Yeah.
Other than to cry. So I guess for me, once the decision is made and there's really not much else you can do, it seems a waste of time. I might as well take a nap. You know what I mean? Or read a book or watch a movie because there's no going back. But if it's a situation like the subway train where every 2 minutes you could get off, that makes sense to pay attention. That makes sense to, cause like you can change your mind, but there's a crazy guy with his dick out on the plane. Everybody's going to see that dick. Like that's everyone's day.
It's everyone's day.
You know what I mean? There's no going back. You let that guy get on the plane and now everybody has to see that. But like the train, there's options. So I guess I'm a worrier too. I guess one of the reasons I don't worry about flying is that I do use logic and like Delta doesn't want you to fall out of the sky. That could absolutely ruin everything.
I know, but you always think you're going to get a pilot who's having a bad life, you know, or like, you're just like, maybe you know, I'm at the whim of this guy's mood or something happens. And then maybe Delta's like, well, you know, we could postpone this flight, but we've had to postpone a lot of flights lately, or all of our pilots canceled because they're sick, but they really just want to be here. So we just took some chancer. There was an actress who died because it was low visibility. And rather than canceling flights, they just did it anyway. And then they crashed into a mountain outside of Vegas.
Was that a private flight?
No, it was a commercial flight. It was just in the 50s or 60s, you know, back when there were no law.
It's been some time.
But you know what I mean? This is like your mind goes wild. And it's funny because I shouldn't be more willing to drive than fly because as everyone says, flying safer than driving, but at least like with driving, I am in control. I can control things.
You're like, guys, what are you doing? No, I get it. It's just like, it's not that I don't get where your headspace is. I think in a lot of ways, the same way that you're just like, I've just decided I'm fine with dying. I think in a lot of ways, I'm just like, I'm not going to give up my lifestyle, which is touring. So something has to give because I can't. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I'm more stressed about missing my flight. Like all my anxiety is in money and missing opportunities and missing stuff that I don't sleep well the night before because I'm worried about sleeping through my alarm. And then I'm worried something's going to happen at the airport where they're just like, this isn't your face. And you're like, what? Like, you know what I mean? Like just some crazy shit. They're opening up my luggage and they're just like, why do you have so many books? And you're like, I'm an author. And they're like, I'm suspicious. I don't believe anybody like you would write. And you're like, you're not wrong. And like, I'm just like, that's where my anxiety lays. It's like everything leading up to me going somewhere is going to just completely.
Oh, that's so funny. I have no anxiety. I don't miss flights. I get there early enough and I check in with the gate and then I come back. Like I find out where my gate is and then I go. But it was fun, like on the way from New York to London, I went to a lounge and it was getting to be about that time. I would think it would like announce boarding. Cause usually like the app will tell me the boards, there was no boards in this lounge, but that like the boards will tell you and everything. But I was like, I just feel like I should be going. So I went downstairs to look at a board and it didn't even say, I mean, the gate was there, but it didn't say it was boarding or anything. So I was like, okay. So I meandered a little bit. I did a little shopping and I was like, this doesn't feel right. So I walked over there and then people were bored. They were boarding. And I walked up when they were saying like final calls.
No.
Yeah. And I was like, are you fucking serious? This is at least a half an hour before the flight. But I knew it was an international flight and I knew they would start boarding like at least 45 minutes. But it was just like, there were no announcements. There was nothing on the board. There was no app thing or anything. And I just knew to go, but I got here.
I'm proud of you. Proud of you figuring it out. Yeah. I don't know. I hate because you text me and there's even less I can do. Like you can't do anything, but there's even less I can do texting the person scared on the flight where I'm like, did the pilot seem
capable? You help a lot. I feel bad I put you in that position, but like I've exhausted Johnny's patience. So it's on you.
Oh, now. I don't mind texting you and I don't mind calming you, but there is a part of me that's like, did the guy look well rested when he got on the plane? you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you'd be okay dying with the person next to you? Like
that's something I think about. I look at the person next to me today, whenever I got back, it was a kid. And I was like, I don't want to die next to a kid. But if it's like somebody, I'm like, we're cuddling if this plane's going down.
Yeah. I'm going to make a lifelong friend.
Yeah. It's funny because you were spared that this time because the Wi-Fi wasn't working. So nobody got any texts. So I just had to watch some movies. Had a hard time concentrating on them. But anyway, I don't know. Fears come out of nowhere. It's bullshit. Now I got to work to like get my normal self back. And that sucks.
When's the next time you have to fly?
I'm going to Spain. Oh, that's exciting. I'm going to Spain in September. So September.
I find it so funny that you're like, that's exciting, and completely negating the fact that to get there is your least favorite part.
I know, but it's a shorter flight. Although the I'm sorry, I'm going to stop talking about flights. Short flights are actually scarier because they're like smaller planes.
The smaller planes I do have a little bit of a problem with. Like when it's like one in one and you're just like, and they don't let you bring your luggage. And you're just like, I don't trust any of this process. Like, why can't I hold my own luggage? Why is there not enough space?
I did a military show in Nassau. And from Miami to Nassau, we took a plane so small, they're asking for everybody's weight because they had to distribute it evenly.
No.
And it didn't scare me at all. I was just taking a video of it. Like I loved it. I mean, I was a little like, ugh, don't love that. Like what happens if it like a cat like jumps out of someone's bag and the whole plane's like, you know? I don't know if I could do that now. I was listening to Conan O'Brien's podcast and he has a no small planes rule, but David
is also like, the size of a plane. Like I can't imagine there's any seat that has enough leg room for him.
That's funny. I assumed it was out of fear, but maybe it is just out of comfort.
Yeah. Like there's a couple of comics that are like, I have to fly first class because I'm tall. And I was like, okay. And they're like, no, I'm being really serious. Like my knees literally don't fit. And I was like, oh, it's a problem I've never had.
They have I'm squeezing into these seats. Like they have moved seats so close to each other. It's so uncomfortable and people are having to pay for like plus seats so that they can get a little bit of leg room. And I mean, and then people are like choking each other on planes. Like, of course they are. Everybody's like, the anxiety's high.
Yeah.
And they're uncomfortable. And like someone like moves their seat back an inch for no reason at all, other than like to make you feel like I get why people snap, but they shouldn't be doing that. That's greedy.
Yeah. There was like a whole article years ago about how the room has gotten less, like both the seat size and then the in between. So there's literally like 50 more seats on a plane than there were before. And
that's nuts. That's nuts. I was like on Virgin and I was looking at the, there's a lounge, like the upper class and they call it upper class.
Oh, like where you can lay down.
Yeah, but there's just a lounge where it's like a bar. It's like, you can go and socialize.
No, shut up.
Sit. Yeah. It's I've tiny. Never seen it. It's the size of like a love seat, but there's like a little bar and there's like a little sofa. So it's like upper class, the section and then this lounge and then the rest of us. pieces of shit. Like, I just wonder how that worked. Like, what's the politics of that? Like, if it's you and your friends and like maybe somebody else wants to come to the lounge, but it's full, it's like, do you get like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't know, but like we're all shoving in, like squeezing ourselves into seats back there, and they're just they've got a lounge. So
also, like, you, like, it is so funny that they serve alcohol on planes where you want to be like, there's no, you can't throw them out. You can't. So what are we doing here? Like, you're going to overserve somebody, and then now you're just stuck with this guy. Like,
yeah.
Why would you build that chaos? Like, why would you,
now you're just stuck with this guy,
you know, like they could be drinking before they get on the plane. Then you give them two drinks on the plane. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, this guy's drunk and big. And you, like, what
I
are your
if they have protocol for it? Do they just keep serving them until they pass out? Or is there,
no,
like, how do you,
just keep going, keep going. It'll get better
through this. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you thought about tequila? Go stronger. Announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you to all our patrons, everybody that supports us. We are beyond grateful. You guys are amazing. If you're not a Patreon, if you're not a patron, I don't care anymore. like, I know they're patrons, but also it's called Patreon, whatever. So, you can, get weekly bonuses. You can get monthly bonuses. You can become a Google guest. You can get stickers. You can get Maria's album. You can get my albums. You can get my book. There's all these fun benefits to supporting us. And you can do that by going to patreon.com/2nondoctors. That's the number 2, full word doctors.
You can follow us on the socials. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at 2nondoctors. It's the number 2, full word doctors. And on Instagram at 2nondrs. If you have time and you're feeling kind, please leave us a rate and review. We love it. We share it. It makes us happy. It makes us happy, guys. It really does. And thanks to everyone who's left reviews so far. My album's out, and thanks to everyone who's bought the album and left me kind words. I like kind words. And you can get that on mariashahada.bandcamp.com or stream it. And I think you can buy it on Apple iTunes too. And then also follow me on YouTube. It's Maria Shahada on YouTube. And that's it. No, I have things now.
Okay. I'm doing stuff.
Camden Fringe. If you're in London or near London, I'm doing the Camden Fringe. I'm at 2 North Down on August 9th and 14th at 8:45 PM. I'm doing my solo show. And then, I think that's it for now.
Nice.
Oh, I'm in Barcelona, in September. So if you're in Barcelona, look out for that.
Yeah. And if you want to drive her there instead of flying, she'd be fine with that.
I don't think that's possible. Like, you'd have to you'd have to take the ferry, which I think takes you to France, and then drive around. I don't know. I don't know how you do that, but yeah, road trip.
I'd be more scared of that ferry. I am touring at the end of July. So I'm in DC July 27th. And then after that weekend, I will be in Atlanta. Then I'm in Pensacola and Panama City in Florida in August. Then I'm in San Francisco. And then in September, I'll be in Colorado and Long Island, and I'm still adding dates and all that stuff, but everything is at lizmealy.com. And then just like podcasty announcement, we are busy and, this is getting harder now that the world is open. So we are going to be, twice a month. So every other week we will be releasing a podcast on Tuesday. Wasn't an easy decision, as you can imagine, this was a lot easier when we didn't have work.
Yeah. But I think we're still doing the bonuses. If you wanted to join our Patreon, that's another incentive, is that we do weekly bonuses. Yes. It's just 15 minutes of us doing a Let's Get Personal. And those are fun.
And we'll still have our monthly bonuses. It's just we'll pull them back a little bit on every week, just because we're getting slammed.
Yeah. But it's good. Busy is good.
So
we're going to read reviews, just because we're always like hammering on. We're just hammering on about reviews. So we have a few reviews. There's, we have one from B, who says, I love this podcast and hope that Marie and Liz stay friends forever. I hope so too. They are funny on their own and together create a great, great model for honest sharing and support that I wish everyone could have. Their topics are relatable and their interpretations are interesting, even if they are pretty much always wrong.
That's just an honest, solid review that we can get behind. Their friendship's great. Their knowledge, less so.
Yeah. Well, you may not learn much from this podcast that you couldn't just look up yourself. Yeah. If you pay attention, you may learn a lot about how people can directly communicate their feelings to each other with love and respect.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Probably one of my faves. Good review.
Yeah. Jen says, awesome show. I've been a fan of the show since it came out. I haven't missed an episode and just today realized I need to support Liz and Maria. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
If you're looking for an eclectic range of topics by two hilarious people, then you are in for a treat. And great show. Donna says, Donna, but all the names are taken. It's funny. Curious? Ask. Two lovely girls doing the best they can and helping out along the way.
All of these are accurate.
Yeah, I love every that. I love that. They're not right, but they're doing their best.
I can really see they're trying. And that's how you get judged in school, at least in like middle school. And we're just continuing that into adulthood.
Yeah.
Do they know what they're talking about? No.
But we said that the whole time.
We've never lied to you.
Yeah.
So thank you for the reviews. You can leave reviews on Apple Podcasts?
Yes. Yeah.
Under Two Non-Doctors.
I think you can rate it on Spotify, but I don't think
it usually takes, if you write a review, it usually takes a couple of days to go live. That's what I've noticed is it takes a second. They have to approve it I guess they go in and they go, are these girls being funny and not smart? And then they do a little boop, doop, doop. Reviews are enjoyed and appreciated. And you ready for Googles?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. My Google is, what does baking soda and water do for your health? So went to the gyno a couple weeks ago, I talked about it before, got diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, but, in general, she was giving me both real like future things that we might do about that, but also like what I can currently do on my own. And one of the things she suggested was having a teaspoon of baking soda in water every morning, aluminum-free baking soda. I haven't done this yet because I haven't been able to find aluminum-free baking soda.
Oh, so that must taste like shit.
I think it probably does. So I was like, what is this? Like, I trust her, but also what is this? So a daily cup of water with a teaspoon of baking soda can regulate your body's pH level, help improve your hormone balance, nutrient absorption and blood quality, all which can, help your kidneys, stay healthy. And then also you can use it for like immediate relief of like occasional acid reflux. And then they highly recommend that you sip this as opposed to like gulping it down because, you could get gassy or have diarrhea. So again, I haven't done it yet, but now I understand why she told me to do it, just because I do have a hormonal imbalance. That's what some of what, the polycystic ovarian syndrome is. And then, I think just pH level and your gut being all healthy and whatever. It's funny, 'cause I was doing for a while, I was having, I think it was a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and water, which tastes disgusting, like genuinely disgusting. But the bigger thing is it wasn't that I couldn't get it down. It was that it would hurt my stomach, because you're supposed to do it on an empty stomach, so that when I finally would eat, I just felt sick. And I did it for like months and I was like, I'm tired of waking up and feeling sick. So I stopped doing it. So I'm wondering if this is going to make me feel the same way, but I'm going to try it eventually when I find.
That's where my dad, part of his medications are sodium bicarbonate pills for his kidney, which is baking soda. So why not? Like, why? It's weird that she suggested drinking, like you have to go and find aluminum free. Is it that baking soda, like if you just get it at a grocery store, it will have aluminum in it?
I guess most baking soda does have aluminum in it, and there is Like, I should just go to Whole Foods and see if they have it. I actually think I did go to Whole Foods and I couldn't find it, because I think I've been now to two grocery stores and they both don't have aluminum-free baking soda.
I just wonder why she didn't suggest the pills.
She wants to torture me?
I mean, I would look into the pills and see if it's something you can get off Amazon, or if it's something that she can prescribe. But if you tell her, like, you can't find them.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's worth trying. And I'm all about trying something that's pretty basic for overall health.
I love baking soda for everything.
Yeah.
It's like, it cleans your clothes. It's good deodorant. Like, it's just crazy. It can do everything.
Oh, dude, they put it in litter. Like, it, you put it in your fridge. Like, it is one of those like magical, like old wives tales of like, you don't need to go to the doctor. Just get baking soda. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't need toilet bowl cleaner. Just get baking soda. Like, it is like that kind of, you know, you need one thing. Like, it's just like a woman at home being like, you don't need all this fancy stuff.
Yeah. I wonder after years of doing this podcast, if our first product is going to be Tune On Doctor's baking soda. I think that that would be,
I would be honored.
Cure all.
Yeah. Yeah. you just see me like, ah.
Yeah, look into the pills and see what they do, and like if you can get them over the counter, because I don't know if it's, I don't think they're prescription, but
yeah, yeah, so something I'm gonna try eventually.
Yeah, nice. Are we my turn?
Yeah.
Mine was like, what does losing a night's sleep do? Because Yeah. I mean, cause I can't sleep on a plane. And if I do fall asleep, it's not for very long, but like, my flight was at 6:45 PM and then I land at 6:40 AM London time. And so really it's like 1:45. This was the worst flight to take, by the way. Like, of all the overnight flights, like, go a little bit later. Because when I landed, it was like rush hour. And so it's,
you haven't slept and it's the worst time to be traveling on like public transportation.
Yeah.
So you're just like, I haven't slept and I will murder all of you.
Well, I took an Uber and that was a huge mistake. a taxi, even, not even an Uber, like a black cab. I like to support them twice a year. Yeah. And so it was a mistake because it was like rush hour. But the point of what I was trying to say is, I didn't sleep because it was only 1:45 and I wasn't tired enough to fall asleep on a plane, which I rarely am. And then when I got home, I had a dentist appointment. I got all the little nubs off of my teeth.
Congrats on getting your nubs off.
Thanks. And she put like a retainer on the inside of my teeth. And then she gave me, now I have two retainers and a retainer. Like, I'm just like, does this shit? She was like, oh, forever. And I was like, okay, cool.
Can this one be taken out?
No, it's just wire against the back of my teeth.
Forever?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Or for 20 years until I have to replace it. Cause it's keeping my teeth straight.
I've seen that. And like, I've seen that in some mouths before.
This is what comes with the Invisalign, and then you pay extra for the plastic retainers, which your guy was just like, just use the last tray.
Yeah.
And then so, but mine, I don't know if she's just making money off me or not, but like,
so this is my question. Why doesn't everybody have that after, and why isn't it not at the top?
So she didn't put mine on the top because I still have an overbite, and my bottom teeth would have hit against the top wire and it would have been too uncomfortable. Like my flatmate has the wire on the inside of her teeth. So some people do have it. They just don't talk about it. Like I do. I'm like,
you don't have a whole podcast about their teeth like we do.
Yeah. So I'm getting used to that. Like I'm always running my tongue over it. Like I just get obsessed with things. I had my tongue pierced in high school and I was like twisting that shit constantly. What the hell was I talking about?
So you go to the dentist, retainer.
Oh yeah. So I couldn't sleep when I got home. And then I went over to Johnny's and was like, I fell asleep twice while we were watching TV. I basically didn't sleep, until the next
fun night. Hang.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wasn't too miserable. It was all right. A single night's sleep can greatly affect you. Going 17 to 19 hours without sleep impacts people as much as or more than having 0.05% blood alcohol content. Drowsiness after sleep deprivation can put you at risk for accidents, impair your physical performance, and hurt your memory, even increasing the likelihood of developing false memories. That's crazy. But I did notice while we were watching a documentary about like the, this was my choice too, the road leading to World War I. And holy shit, like I could not comprehend what the fuck, like I couldn't follow like all the different alliances, like the Bosnian versus like the Serbs around Russia's side and the Austro-Hungarian. I was like, I need to write this down. I can't, like, I was so mentally just like fuzzy. I was like, I can't keep track of this documentary. I don't even think I could have kept track of it if I hadn't lost a night's sleep. It affects the how you view and select foods, which is funny because I was like, I have to have Chinese food.
Well, we talked about this at a much earlier podcast where it had, does sleep deprivation make you have sugar cravings? And it 100% does.
It's weird. I wonder why.
We Googled it. I don't remember.
It says, although sugary foods might give an initial energy boost, they can lead to lower energy in the hours to come. I think like maybe you think you need it because you're tired.
Yeah. Like your body's like, let's get energy immediately.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good Google. I should have Googled, it's 2 hours of sleep better than no sleep at all. So a single night of poor diminished sleep can lead to daytime tiredness and irritability. Yeah, we knew that.
How could anybody tell?
Not joking.
Yeah, I will fucking kill you. I thought that the blood alcohol thing was interesting.
Well, driving while sleep deprived is as bad as driving while drunk. Well, I can't speak. Wow. Drowsy driving, whether it's because you're drunk or you haven't slept, is pretty much the same.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I noticed. And yeah, so it's your judgment, your memory and hand-eye coordination skills are all suffering. So, but I didn't know if that would like fuck me up in a bigger way, but I don't think it does. I think if you continue to lose sleep, that's when it really starts to affect you, but I'm not like suffering any long-term negative side effects because of one night's sleep.
Yeah, I think if it's once in a blue moon and you can kind of accumulatively get it back, you're not going to like, if you missed a whole night, you're not going to sleep a whole day away, but like let's say you missed a whole night and if you usually get 7 hours, you might get 7.5, and so then you're doing 7.5 every night to kind of get those hours back.
Yeah. So I was in a situation where I was trying to decide if I should get 2 hours or just like be awake the whole time, like when I was flying to the States. I was like, because I had an early flight, so I was like, I can either stay up all night or get 2 hours of sleep, and the choice was made for me when I passed out. You should sleep for a couple of hours. Oh, wait. So, yeah, some sleep is better than getting none. Sleep is the period when you're... I know what sleep is. What, are you serious? it's when your body repairs its tissues, replenishes hormones, and transforms short-term memories into long-term memories. If you skip a night's sleep, your mental function and mood will significantly decline the next day. Being awake for 18 hours causes a similar mental impairment as having already read that. When you're asleep, your body cycles through 4 stages. Sleeping for a couple hours isn't ideal, but it can still provide your body with one sleep cycle. It's a good idea to aim for at least 90 minutes of sleep so that your body has time to go through a full cycle. Research has found that sleeping for 90 to 110 minutes may help reduce grogginess when you wake compared to shorter 60-minute sleeping sessions. When I got home, I fell asleep for like a half an hour and I had to get up for this dentist appointment, and it was the most painful thing.
I was going to say the same thing. When I was traveling nonstop, I fell asleep on a plane. Like I had a layover or whatever. I fell asleep on a plane for 45 minutes. And when we landed, I was like, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I don't feel like I could get up I felt like I couldn't stand. I was so like, it felt like somebody punched me in the face. I was just like,
Yeah. That's what I was telling Johnny. I was like, I feel like my world is like this big. And I'd like, mimed a box around my, like I couldn't function beyond an inch on either direction of me. Like yeah. I was like, I couldn't do anything. Yeah. Better now.
Find hilarious, which is not nice to share, but because the last day you were here, I had to get up at 8 for that inspection. And then I was up all day and I was like running around. It was like a really long day. I got so, I almost went to bed at 7:30, but I think I made it until 9:30. So I passed out at 9:30. And then I woke up, I think at 8, and I was like, I'm finally on like Maria's schedule. Like, I was like, first of all, I slept almost 12 hours, but then I was like, oh, you know what I mean? Like you were getting up early this whole time and I would like wake up late and you'd be like,
I know, that's so annoying.
And then I was like, oh, I'm finally on Maria's schedule and she's gone.
Oh, that's so fucking annoying.
It is annoying.
Oh, no, you were fine. We had a good time in New York. I had so much fun.
Rafe, let's get personal.
Yeah.
Let's get personal. Okay. What would be some of the most annoying things about having yourself as a roommate?
I'm really trying to be a good person. I'm particular and
I am too. I'm not.
You just lived with me for a week. Yeah, we're both particular. I'm just like, why does this need to be here? Why can't it be here? Or like, cause like I'm visual, right? Like I like to walk into a room and feel nice about the room. And if there's something out of place, and then it'll fucking piss me off a lot. And that it shouldn't. Like if I were living with me, I'd be like, oh, okay. So I can't do anything. Like, I don't understand like why I feel so uncomfortable in my own home. And and then I would tell myself like, well, I just need things my way because I'm insane. And then my other self would be like, well, yeah, but now I feel like restricted. I would be like living with the flatmate I had that I didn't like because I felt restricted. So.
Yeah. I don't think you're that bad though. I think you can, logic can be talked to you. Cause I'm very particular as well. Like even when we're just like at dinner, I'm like, the water can't be on this side. Like, I just can't, I don't know what, it's not even blocking any. It can't be on the left. I just can't.
Your water or all water?
And it's not every time. It's just, I'll be at a table and they'll put the water and the glasses down and it'll be there. And I'd be like, and it doesn't belong there. And everybody should know that. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, it's this kind of, I think everybody's kind of like this. So I had to download a new app on my phone and I had to move it to the front page of my phone and it messed up the order of my apps and I couldn't like find things. Cause you go to the same place anyway. So that causes deep distress because things have been in the same place for like 6 months to a year. And now I'm like, where the fuck is. So I'm the same way with my apartment because I have such a bad memory and because everything is so muscle memory, anything moving, just where the, like it's that. And I hate that feeling that like, whatever. The other thing I do is I have 9 of things. So I think we talked about an episode. I have scissors in every room.
I do love that about you actually. Cause I needed scissors a few times where I'm like, oh, here's it. You just look down and there's a pair of scissors. And I'm like, this is probably why we love each other so much.
I don't even have that many rooms and every room you go in has a pair of scissors. Like I'm looking at a pair of scissors. I know they're in every bathroom. Why do you have scissors in the bathroom? You'd be surprised. It's very helpful. And then even in the kitchen, living room, dining room is all one room. There's 3 pairs of, no, 4 pairs of scissors and several knives, not for kitchen, like other like box openers and whatever. So many scissors.
It's weird how often they're needed.
Because I have kitchen scissors, things that cut stuff that are for food. And then I have box stuff, which is for boxes. And then I have like crafting scissors. Like I'm very serious about my scissors.
Scissors is great. But like what I don't understand. So if you have 9 of everything, what would be the thing that would be like, if I lived with you, would your 9 things like impede on the space? Is that the problem? Is like, it's just taking up space.
I could imagine somebody being like, we don't need this many scissors. Like, this isn't a mansion. Why do we have a mansion amount of scissors when this is like a small apartment? And there's probably like, first of all, I feel very safe. If I get locked in any room, I could like get out and I could see how that's a lot of something. Same with pens. Like pens and the type of pen I like, I'm very particular. And that's in every room. Like I don't seem to want to travel very far for the things I need. So I just get 70 of them.
But I do like that. Like staying with you and staying with my friend, Lisa had everything. She had it was a studio. Everything you needed was in arm's distance. It was, it was perfect. It was set up in a way for maximum comfort. She thought of everything.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. I do like, I guess it depends. Like
I have my critiques of yours.
How about I say what I think before you hurt my feelings.
Would I really hurt your feelings?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think we've never lived together, but because our friendship is long distance, we have spent chunks of time. So like a month together, several weeks together, traveling together. So I do think I do think we've grown and become closer because of this long distance friendship. And I do know what I do. I usually pretty much know what I do that annoys you specifically.
Okay. Can I just say one more thing about why it would suck to live with me is that I'm a morning person. So I get up very early, and I know I probably woke you up maybe a couple times.
I don't think you really did though. Like, okay. And if you did, I went back to sleep, but also what's helpful about knowing your habits, I'm like, it's just Maria. The same thing with like having a cat. If something falls, I'm like, oh, somebody's breaking in. I'm like, fucking cat. And then you just go back to bed.
Yeah. okay, good. Okay. Cause yeah.
What actually is annoying about you being a morning person is you've been up for several hours and I wake up and you are ready to talk to me and I am not ready.
So I try to be respectful of that distance. I'm not.
No, and you see it like the same way that I really like coming home and my cat is always waking up and he has his squinty eyes and he's groggy. And it's just so funny that like, that was our relationship, which is that you'd be up for hours. I'd wake up and you'd be like, and I'd be like, and you'd be like, I'll give you a second. And I was like, a second? I need a half hour. The amount of times that I was like, can I have a half hour? I need a half hour.
I was like, yeah, I'll be on the terrace. I'll see you later.
But it's also like, I can't tell you how many times in a normal situation, I do not talk to anybody until 5-6 o'clock at night. Like sometimes the first people I interact with is the people at the gym and or at shows. So the first people I talk to is like club people. It's like, it's, I don't think it's a great way to do anything, but I am sometimes, I don't, it's a luxury and often sometimes a curse where I'm just like, who talks to people before 5 PM? This is crazy. I find that funny, but you're very aware and you're very good about it. You're not like, fuck you in your morning face. Like I have things to say.
Yeah. If there's any, I mean, if I can do anything, I can read a face. And yours is loud and clear.
Yeah. No, I'm usually, I just know I have a look where I'm like,
it's overwhelm. And like, it's just this, like, I love this person, but I don't know. I can't.
I'm not ready. I'm just like this. I'm not ready.
So, yeah, go ahead and guess.
So I do, when I am awake, I talk nonstop. That's there. You are very accepting of that. I've had people in my life less accepting of that. I've been very fortunate that the roommates I've had over the years have either enjoyed that and, or I tolerated that. So like my roommate, Chris was a talker. So we were like, da, 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 and that was fine. John, less so. But John has lived with 3 out of 5 mealies and John just is like, this is my life and I have to accept it.
I don't think I actually noticed once that you talk too much. I think like, cause I get my time in the morning when you're not up. And so I get everything, like a lot of the writing I need to do, it gets done and I have my quiet time. So can you stop for a second? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And we also are pretty good about access. Like, hey, I think we should get some work done, or hey, I have to do this. And so like, I know how to get into worker mode.
Yeah.
I do think, me and Sam are very similar. So a lot of how I feel about myself is how I feel about Sam, which is sometimes like, so Sammy will stay with me and I'll be like, hey Sam, I gotta do an hour of work. And he's like, absolutely. Totally get it. And then 10 minutes in, he's like, oh, I gotta tell you something. I'm like, okay. And so he tell me something and I'll be like, Sam, I gotta do an hour of work. He's like, but that was a half hour ago. I was like, yeah, but I spent 20 minutes talking to you. So I still have an hour of work. And so then I'll start working and then he'll be like, another thing. And I'll be like, Sam, I really got to work. He's like, totally, totally get it. So it's just like 4 hours later, he's like, you said you had an hour of work. I go, Sam, you don't let me work. So I've had those and I know I'm a little bit like that as well. So I do find I can ruin a focus. I know that.
Yeah. I'm going to start by saying all the things I loved. You can't even begin to say how many things I loved about your place. Your mattress in your guest room is hands down. I don't think I've stayed in 5-star hotels with better mattresses than that shit. And it was Costco and it was just fucking amazing.
Yeah, guys, Costco mattresses.
Yeah. Just like, I would like lay, like I would just face plant into this thing and lay like starfish, just like it's just you're it's like I got you. And I'm like, okay.
Best mattress ever.
Best mattress ever. Decorated beautifully. Love your place. Like I took a Zoom call from the room you were in, and like the guy was like, oh, I love your background. I was like, sent my background. So my friend Liz is, I'll let her know. You're stocked. Everything I need. Kitchen wise, a lot of the stuff I would want is always stocked because other people in your life want it too, like sriracha.
Yeah. I was going to say, I actually have a bit of a bachelor kitchen. And then if I'm doing some kind of crazy fix my body diet, I'm just like, you want nuts? Like, I'm like, yeah. I have nuts and that's
you
it.
You had great snacks, kitchen utensils. It's all there. Everything you need, like kinds of stuff. You have like 5 different tea strainers and they're very cute. One's a robot. Like what the fuck? Like if it was an Airbnb, like
I was going to say, I love this Airbnb review that's happening
right
now.
It's so good. It's such a great place. It's such a great place. So don't like get your feelings hurt from the 2 fucking things that I was
comparing myself.
Yeah. Like, the body wash in the guest bathroom was like, it's like expensive. I was like, this is nice guest bathroom stuff.
I think anything I had that I wasn't using, I was like, the guests can have this because I don't want to ever throw anything out. So
yeah. Nice. Yeah. So what I didn't like was your cat. No, I'm kidding.
He's in a strong kitten phase. Oh, he's laying on my lap.
I know. That's why I said that. No, he's fine. Although
he's in full kitten phase. He was a lot.
But he's so cute. So it was fine. He's lucky he's cute. The lack of light and air that you That's generally valid. Live with your baseline for that stuff, like you don't need it. And I'm like, I need all the sunlight and all the air. Like I need windows, curtains open, shades open, windows open.
You are like a Disney princess in the sense that like, you are like, throw the shades open, open the air. You want birds to greet you and start making open. A dress.
Yeah.
You're like, Abs hasn't knitted anything for me this whole time. I've always known you need a lot of light, which makes me glad. Like I technically do. I just, because I have a I don't like people seeing like, okay. So my old apartment, I was a forward facing apartment building. Or my windows to my bedroom were like the first, like you could look in. So I had posters in there at first. And then finally the last year I was living there and I was there for 6 years, I got this, it's like this decal that you can put on the windows that just makes it so it's like frosted glass or whatever. And that made a huge difference because it still let in the light, but I could have the windows completely open and I didn't feel like people were watching me. I didn't want to put the frosted things in these windows because I do want to be able to look out at them and I'm really short. So I have these up and down, shades, but I kind of set them and forget them. And you are in this like, throw them up. Who cares if people see if we eat cereal? And I'm just like, I don't love it. I think you're more because you've moved rooms, but that other place you had a window that was forward facing and I don't think you cared.
No, I don't, because I need light more than I care about people seeing in. But that one I did have like sheer curtains that I would keep over it, like if I was changing or something.
It's funny too, because this apartment has pretty good light, both natural light and like light in the apartment, except for my bedroom. And that's the only place I find myself being like, what? Like, this is where I need the light. I'm getting dressed in here. Like, but
yeah,
you're not wrong. And when like you opened up the window and you're like, isn't this breeze nice? And
it
was like,
the
I haven't
hardest opened window I've ever opened. It's like, it's never been opened before. It was like, I didn't even know I could do this.
I was like, making my brother do it. I
actually
Sammy
couldn't open it. You had to open it for me.
But as soon as it was open, I was like, oh, this is nice. And as soon as you opened it, it made me realize it's something I wanted to do, because whenever I'm at my friend Amanda's, she has all the windows open and I just find it really calming and nice. But again, I think it's because I'm a forward facing apartment and the noise doesn't actually bother me. I would have to do it every day and be in the habit. I think I'm worried about forgetting to leave. Like I leave it open when I leave or go to bed, or like, I think there's fear involved. So I just go with, I'm not going to do that.
I remember going to see a place and the girl was like, she worked from home and she was chewing gum, but it was like, it was cheap. And it was like, the place had an extra bedroom, which is unheard of in London. And so I was trying to like deal with the gum chewing, but like the windows were all closed and it was kind of stuffy. And like the curtains were like half shut. I was like, do you ever just like throw open the curtains, open the windows, anything? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. I don't think she liked me. I think she picked up on my absolute disdain for her.
That might not be a good roommate situation.
Yeah, but I need cross air. I mean, like if there's windows to be open, I want them open. I want air coming through. Like, yeah.
So I think the best example of how different we are is like when I'm in a hotel, like you'll be like, they're doing construction. There's no view. And I look like I murdered somebody and I'm hiding from the police. Like I am legit curtain. I try to open the curtains when I wake up because I do like natural light, but I don't care what the view is. I'll make fun of it. I'll be like, what a beautiful view. And it's a parking lot.
Yeah, but like, what if like the one time I was in Birmingham and like, it was covered in tarp. Like I opened the windows and it was all tarp. And I was like, is this whole hotel covered in tarp? And the woman at the desk was like, yes. And I was like, okay. And then like another comedian on the show was like, here's a view from my, like showing me a picture. I was like, you can see out your window. I was so mad. Like being able to see, like having a brick wall in front of me is the worst thing.
Some of it's training from like doing early road. Cause early road, you get these hotel rooms that are like either for staff or for people that are like gremlins.
They put
like
you in a closet.
They put you in a closet. They put you in a room with no windows or like, yeah. It's like, I don't think people understand like early road or shitty road. Like, you know, it's like you're like cast aside and you're like some kind of gremlin where they're just like, you can be here. And you're like, does the toilet work? They're like, sometimes. And you're like, yeah. Like, it's just horrible place. So you just kind of get used to it.
I don't get used to it.
I know. I noticed.
Yeah, no, I don't. And I remember one time I got a hotel off Hotels Tonight because it was like things were like bad at home. My two flatmates were fighting. Like I didn't want to be home and I just didn't want to deal with anybody. I mean, we were all sort of fighting. It just started with my two flatmates and it just trickled over to me. And so I stayed at a hotel. And there was no window. Like it was like, and I was like, I called the front desk. I was like, there's no window. And he was like, well, that's what you ordered. And I was like, I didn't. I mean, I got it off Hotel Tonight. Like they didn't tell me there was no window. I would never stay here if there's no window. I cannot be in a room without a window. And he was like, let me see what I could do. They took like a half an hour, but he called me back and they upgraded me to this room that was like super tall ceilings and like a window and a view. And it was the best night. And I was just like, I ordered like room service and I was like dancing around the room and shit. Like I really made use of this room.
No one can see me dance. I need a window.
No. But I can't, like, that is my hell.
I'll say this. We've never lived together. I think we could do it. Because we spent time together. I think we know each other well enough to know what is necessary.
Yeah.
And where to push. Like you opening the window or like needing light, that's not going to push my button. That's not, it's just, I don't think about it. I have like dude habits where you're like, how do you live like this? And you're like, I've never even thought about it. Like, yeah. Never, yeah, even crossed my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not like you're like, I need it closed. You're just like, it didn't even
cross my mind.
But Johnny will need like no light in the morning. And I'm like, as soon as I'm up, I need to be like, I need sunlight drenching me, you know, I need everything. And he's not like that. And so it's like, I'll just have to go into the living room or something if we live together. Yeah. The other thing was, the cat litter in the bathroom. Like if I moved in and I was paying equal, like if I bought half your house and I had any right to say anything at all, I would veto the cat litter in the bathroom. Cause it just like made the space that I could walk in very small. And then Abs went in there and was like, yeah. And so then it was like, there's sand everywhere. And I was like, I can't do this with the litter here.
Yeah. I do have to figure something. I mean, the thing is that it's like a bathroom. It's his bathroom. Really have to take it up with him. My favorite though is, so far, anybody that stayed with me, because he's in there and he likes being in there with other people, like people have like gone to the bathroom at the same time as Mike, like you're just both It's like a, have you ever been in those hotels where it's two toilets next to each other with no wall? And you're like, what? Is this supposed to be romantic?
I've
like,
never seen that. No.
I've seen it. I've seen two toilets That's, next to each other.
Are you sure
in a bathroom.
It's not like a toilet and a bidet?
No, it's two toilets.
It's not a toilet and a pissing thing?
No.
That's crazy.
Two toilets.
I don't ever want to be that intimate with anyone.
I know. I know. And I've seen it at least three times in my 15 years of being on the road.
Abs and I never got to that point. Like if he came into the bathroom and I think I would just look at him and he'd be like, okay, so we're not doing
I'll
this.
Come. I'll come back.
I got you.
I'll come back. I'm sorry. I'll come back. That was, I don't even know you that well. That was presumptuous. And I'm sorry. It's like, I did. And you missed it. I went to Petco, yesterday and I bought him a scratching pad that looks like a couch. And that's been a real joy to come home and he's lounging on his own little couch that is a scratching pad.
That's so funny. I was just thinking about his name this morning. It just, I don't know why it popped into my head that like your cat's names have gone from like Pasta to Tots to like a Revenge Abs. And I'm just like, I'm like, you have like the David Bowie looks of cat names. It's like, as you progress through life, they're just going to get more and more eccentric.
Yeah. Also,
my cat's name is, and then you just throw glitter in the air.
Yeah. That's how you have to greet him. Make sure it's glitter that can't affect his immune system. What's funny about it, and you've seen it happen, is he's pissed me off so much. So his full name is Revenge Abs. I call him Abs or Abby. But when I'm mad, I was mad at him a couple times. I was like, Abigail, it's not even his name.
Yeah.
Not even his name. So it's just like, I just give him, he just gets more names as I get angry. But I was like, God, Abigail, not his name. His name's Revenge.
Aberson.
Yeah. We would love to, if anybody knows what sucks about living with them, we would love to hear it. It's always interesting to know what like weird habits people have that they're like, I don't know if I can live with anybody else. Or I know my roommate wants to murder me.
Yeah. You can write to us at 2nondoctors@gmail.com. That's the number 2 full word doctors. And we'll see you all in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Do they know what they're talking about?
No.